Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be here for almost a whole week, Lord, and to meet with these dear, precious souls, part of your family, Lord, and having the privilege of communing with them, praying with them, talking, singing, and sharing. And now as we wrap up our week, I pray for your Spirit to be poured out as mightily tonight as it has been on the other nights. And that we will leave from here changed because we heard and saw Jesus, and that we would be inspired to be different and to spend that time with you that is necessary for us to be more like you and less like us. Father, pour out your Spirit. Keep Satan away. Use me tonight. Give me the words to speak that will really bring the Holy Spirit's presence in our hearts and minds, the truth that you have for us. So guide and direct now, and may each one feel your closeness. And we thank you for hearing this prayer because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I told you tonight I have a very outstanding story to share with you. I want to show you my church first. That's a picture of my church in Las Vegas. And that car on the far right is my wife's minivan. She parked it in my parking place. We have 400 members. And wonderful people. They're all excited, actually, that I'm here with you. And God is blessing. Everything's going okay while I've been gone. So I just thought I'd show you a picture. The sanctuary you can see there is in the middle. And before I got there, they built it. They put in 501 theater seats. So you can really sleep in my church. They are very comfortable, individually wrapped chairs for each one of you to sit in. Fully cushioned. And we often, like I said, it's very interesting, we often have many visitors to our church from all over the world that come for conventions and meetings, and then they stay for the weekends and they'll come to church. And we get to meet some very interesting people. I want to show you again tonight my prayer spot. And I'm going to tell you a story that just simply amazes me. And you need to understand that this story is just another absolute evidence that God answers prayer. And that it isn't so much the person as it is the action. It is God's working when we allow Him to work. I told you that ascending the mountain every Wednesday morning and praying over the entire valley gave me a love for them, the whole valley, that was genuine and sincere from the heart of God. And you remember I told you that we prayed and we decided that something needed to be done for the whole valley. And because of that prayer, you were here last night. If you weren't, it's on the tape. It is written, and the new speaker director, John Bradshaw, will be coming to Las Vegas to do a citywide meeting in January and February 2012. And I'm just telling you, you didn't hear the whole story, but the story came about because of prayer. But there's more to this story than meets the eye. I was boarding a plane in Orlando, Florida, leaving a day early a prayer meeting that we were having down there for the North American Division to fly to Texaco Conference to interview a pastor. I was the ministerial director of the Indiana Conference at that time. And when I got on that plane, I did what I always do. I get seated, settled. I always grab an aisle seat. When everybody moves in to the middle, I buckle up my belt and I bow my head and I begin to pray. And I always pray for safety in the flight. I'm not a real comfortable flyer until after I prayed. And while I was praying, you know, sometimes it's so comfortable, I keep praying. The plane actually is now taken off. It's in the air. I just keep praying. And believe it or not, I was praying. And while I was praying, God said to me, here is where you can do ministry. Now, in my mind, those were the exact words I heard. I didn't hear a voice out here, but I hear it in my mind. Here is where you can do ministry. And in order to make this story more incredible to you, I have to tell you this part of it. The minute God said that, I knew what He was talking about. For you see, I was flying to interview a pastor. But before I got on the plane, I had called the conference president in Nevada, Utah, to reference a young man who had sent me a resume who was the associate pastor of the Paradise Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. And in that interview on the phone, I learned that this was a church that just built the sanctuary. The senior pastor had gone back to the seminary, and he was interested, and so I started talking about him. We didn't talk anymore about the church. And then when I got to the airport, I called the conference president, and I referenced him. I called the ministerial man, and I referenced him. I get on the airplane, and God says, here is where you can do ministry. And that here, I knew, was paradise. And that ministry meant something special that I've always wanted to do. And I went, oh boy. Because at that time, the conference president of Indiana was Gary Thurber, who now is the conference president of the Rocky Mountain Conference. And I will work with that man or go anywhere with that man, anytime, any place. He is a godly leader, a very prayerful, thoughtful person. And I thought, Lord, how am I going to tell Gary? Anyway, I arrived in Texaco. Once I got there, I called my dear sweet wife, told her I was safe. I would be interviewing tomorrow morning, and I'll be flying home on Friday to attend a church in Indiana where I had to preach. And I said, by the way, Jenny, I want to tell you what God said to me on the airplane. And all my sweet wife said was, oh no, here we go again. But anyway, we dismissed it, see, because notice, I didn't get a call from a human being in the conference. I got a call from God. So that Monday morning, I called the Nevada-Utah conference in obedience to what I know I heard in my mind. And I said to the conference president, in fact, he called me, the conference president just took a call to go to the union office. And the ministerial director ended up being the conference president. I called the ministerial director, and he said, Peter, you're calling me again? And I said, yes. He said, have you changed your mind and you want to be conference president and you want me to put your name on the list? I said, no. I already told you. I haven't been called to be a conference president. But I am interested in paradise. There's absolute silence. He says, you're kidding me. I said, no. And I told him the story. He said, Peter, in 2 weeks I'm going to that church with three names. I only have two right now. And they look at the three names and they vote and choose which ones they want. I take the vote home. I bring it back to my personnel committee. I show them. We decide which one we recommend to the conference. And after we look at how they voted, then we go to the conference executive committee, they voted. He said, I'll put your name in. I said, you got to do me one favor, Larry. What's that? Make sure that you bring two of the best names that you got. Because if this is God calling, I want to know. And guess who got the call? I did. And guess what my wife said? We are not going to Las Vegas. You think I'm taking my boys to that city? You're out of your mind. I said, Jenny, they're in college. They don't live with us anymore. But anyway, that was her answer. I have the most wonderful wife. And if she was here, you would love her to death. But it turned out that she changed her mind. And she changed her mind because she got an incredible job. And you need to know that in the 24 years of our marriage, 25 years of our marriage, She had never worked full time because she homeschooled our boys at first, and then she worked part time with me. In fact, for 11 years, she was a part time youth minister of mine, always taking care of my boys, our boys. And we don't have the time, but I'll tell you, every part of this is a story. But she actually was hired for a position she's not qualified for nor trained for, but it's what she's always wanted to do and loves to do. And so when she got the job, she knew that God was calling. And so we moved to Paradise. We started praying in the mountain. And the second thing that happened in the mountain prayer was suddenly I realized, Lord, there's sex trafficking going on in that city that is just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And I thought of the teenage prostitutes, some of them 11 years old, that are being enslaved and put to work. By the way, if you want to know how that happens, they wait at the bus station. They identify a runaway, and they know. Any of you who have worked with predators, they know. And they walk up and say, hey, do you got a place to stay? Do you got any food to eat? Come with me, I'll take care of you, don't worry. I'll give you food, I'll give you a place to stay, and I've got my girl here, she'll take care of you. And of course, the girl happens to be a prostitute. And when they come, they get them on drugs. And once they have them on drugs, they put them out in the street. And people come from all over the world, including the United States, for that purpose. I said, Lord, we got to do something. This is wrong. And because of that love for that city and the Lord identifying that particular burden in my heart, I started thinking, I've got to help somewhere. And I identified an agency that does work with prostitutes, and I tried on a couple of occasions to contact them, but they would never respond to me. And then I looked around in other places, and nothing seemed to happen. And I go up in the mountain, I'd say, Lord, how can we help? What can we do? We have to do something. Well, in the meantime, because of my wife's job, occasionally we go out to dinner with some very influential people. And at one of the meals, and I'm always invited as her husband. Isn't that good? As her husband instead of she's my wife. I like that. There's a particular man there who we got talking, and somehow he realized my burden, and he looked at me and said, well, Peter, if you ever find something that you think could help, let me know. And so now I thought, wait a minute, Lord. I went on the mountain. I said, how am I going to deal with this? And so I started looking in fervor for this. And I couldn't make any connections. And I'd go on that mountain. I'd say, Lord, we got it as written coming now. But we got to do something for what's going on in the Strip. Especially in my mind, it's these teenagers who have been... They've been forced into this. They've been tricked into this. They've been deceived into this. And they become slaves, as it were. And how are we going to do this? And so I kept looking and thinking and looking. And I remember one day I got a letter. I was in my office and I got some junk mail in my office. And I just looked at the envelope. It said Living Waters or something like that. And I just happened to open it up. And sometimes I don't even open the junk mail. I just throw it away. I mean, at my office, it came to the church. And I read the letter and it says, we are opening up a treatment center for young girls. And if we want to introduce ourselves and we have plans to do that. And if you have any interest, let me know. Or we would be interested in telling you about our program. And I took the thing and I threw it away. Now, why did I throw away? I threw away because I didn't know who they were. And in my mind, I think of the 8 laws of health. In my mind, I think that if you're going to treat somebody, you've got to treat their whole person. And nobody understands that like Seventh-day Adventists. So I threw it away. And then I kept looking. And then all of a sudden, we went out to eat again, and this man came up to me and he said, He said, he saw my wife and he said to her, "Has Peter come up with anything yet?" I'm like, "What? We've got to do something." And I said, "Man, what am I going to do?" So I remember it was GC session. I can date it. And I text a friend of mine named Dan Houghton, who's an ASI, and I said, "Dan, is there anybody in our church who knows how to run a sex trafficking treatment center for girls?" And I text him, because he's in ASI. He would know if there's somebody like that. My good friend Dan never answered me. Come to think of it, I never got a reply. And so I'm back on the mountain. I'm going, "Lord, what are we going to do? I just don't want to turn this over to some other denomination, you know, and partner with them. Not that I'm bigoted. But you gave me this burden. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Isn't there some way we can do this thing?" And all of a sudden my mind remembered my circular file. You know what a circular file is? That letter that I received. And I thought, "Yeah, that's right. I can't come up with anything else. Dan didn't even answer me. Maybe I better go find that letter and look at it more closely. I know what I'll do. I'll call them and I'll find out who they are." And so I run back and I go check my circular file, and my janitor just doesn't understand my filing system. It was gone. But in my mind, I realized that it said Living Waters. So I get on the internet. I go, "Living Waters, Las Vegas, Nevada." And up comes this Living Waters International. And I looked at it, and it seemed to look like the same thing. So I took the number, I called them up, and a lady answered the phone. And I said, "Hello." I said, "I'm a pastor in the area. And did you recently send out a letter?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Did it have something to do with helping girls?" She said, "Yes, it did." I said, "Well, can I speak to your director?" And she said, "Yes, you can." And so she got the director, and I said, "My name is Pastor Peter Neary, and I'd like to know what you're going to do. Can I come and meet with you? Because maybe I can help." "Oh, yes." Right away, we made an appointment. I think I called like on a third. Let's see, I went up in the mountain on Wednesday, so I must have called on Thursday, and I was in her office on Monday. So I walk into her office. This very happy, friendly young lady comes walking out and greets me and says, "Welcome, Pastor. We're so glad you're here. Come on in. I brought my associate with me. Him and I came together." And she brought us in her office and sat us down, and she said, "Well, my name is Christina Stanford," and I said, "I'm Peter Neary. This is my associate, Pastor Giancarlo Bonucci." How do you like that one? Giancarlo Bonucci. All right, another Italian. "And we'd like to know who you are and what you're doing." "Oh," she said, "okay." And all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute, but I always pray first. So I'm thinking, as soon as she gets done going, "Okay, we'll do this," I'll say, but can we pray first? And so she goes, "Oh, that's really nice, but," she says, "can we pray first?" And I went, "Why, yes, we can pray." And so we bow our heads and she prays a prayer. And so she starts talking. "Well, you know, I've got my degree. I've got my degree in helping traumatized women in any area in sex, whether it's abuse or incest." You know, she went through the whole litany of rape, prostitution. "That's what my degree is. I came from Detroit," and she said, "My husband and I decided that we had to go somewhere and do this. And I've had the office here for 3 years, and we treat families and help the girls especially, but now we want to set up a treatment center and start a whole live-in program." And I go, "Wow, this is just what I've been looking for, but who are you?" I'm thinking. And she says, "So we prayed to God, and And I had a really nice offer at a place in Arizona, but something brought us to Las Vegas. And I said, oh. And then she kept talking and she kept mentioning her church. And finally, we got to that point where I'm just bursting here because I said, what church are you talking about? And she goes, the Abundant Life Church. And I go, the Abundant Life Church. Well, we have an Abundant Life Church in Las Vegas. And then I go, wait a minute, who's your pastor? She says, Dr. Calvin Rock. I go, you're a Seventh-day Adventist? She goes, yes, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I graduated from Oakwood. I broke out in tears. I said, you're kidding me. She says, no. I said, I believe I have money for you. She says, you're kidding me. I said, no. And my heart started pounding, folks. I am telling you that now Christine and I have been working together for 2 months, and I am telling you, I have not told this story yet to my own church yet. They've been praying for this joint venture, but they haven't heard this whole story. You are the first ones. That I am sure the connection that my wife, who wasn't coming to Las Vegas, has with this man will fund this program, that we will get started faster because of the interest that God had already stimulated before I got there. And I want you to know it goes all the way back to the plane where God called me out of the office in Indiana to leave a man that I respect and love because I believed, he said, go to this place where you can do ministry. I had no idea what he was talking about. And my wife gets a job she's not qualified for, nor does she have the education for it. And a man is there. And if I wasn't sure that God was in this and this is going to be a done deal, I wouldn't tell you this story because it would be very embarrassing if it didn't come to fruition. So you heard the story first. God answers prayer. When you pray, He gives you a love. When He gives you a love, He gives you a burden. When He gives you a burden, He opens doors. I never in a million years dreamed that I could ever do this thing. But it's going to happen. And now, I want to help those girls worse than ever. I want to be a part of that ministry. I got to tell you a little side funny story. Because of this, I have met the lieutenant of the vice squad of Las Vegas. Jenny and I introduced ourselves to her at a seminar at a Christian church. And afterwards, we talked and told her what we're going to do. And I never saw anyone so enthusiastic and supportive as this lieutenant, Karen Hughes, of the Las Vegas vice squad. And she is now helping us. She hooked us up with a judge named Judge Boy, who is determined to find a way to help these girls. Because you see, when you're a teenage prostitute and you're arrested by the police, and we all know that who should be arrested is the pimps, not the girls. But they can identify the girls, they can't identify the pimps. And they can take them and they can keep them in the tank for maybe 24 hours. And no matter what they do, what they promise, how they beg, the girls will not turn in their pimp. Won't do it. And 24 hours later, they're back on the street. Why? Because in Las Vegas, Nevada, one of the worst places, if not the worst, for teenage trafficking, there is no place for them to go. But soon there will be. God answers prayer. I want you to pray. I want you to pray at home with your children every morning, every night. I want you to pray before every meal and always ask God to bless. But I want you to pray every day by yourself. Spend time with God. then come to the church and find places with your pastor and ways with your congregation to include prayer. Because when you do, He moves mountains. I want you to look at the card, if you would. Take the card. I'm going to use the card to close, and then we're going to pray. I want to pray a prayer with you. By the way, do you feel the need to ask any questions the story I just told you? Do you? Does anybody needs a card? Raise your hand, please. Is there any questions that you want to ask about what I just told you? Anybody? You know, while they're passing out the cards, I forgot to tell you the story. So because of Lieutenant Hughes and our friendship and meeting with her and her enthusiasm to help us, because of their sincere desire, even as police officers, to help these girls, we recently went to a seminar, and here were all the organizations in the city that are doing things on the street for the homeless, you know, and for the veterans who are out of work, you know, every kind of organization, food, clothing, you name it. And the moderator stands up and welcomes everybody, introduces everybody, and says, today our special speaker is going to be Karen Hughes, the lieutenant of the vice squad, and she's going to talk to us about human sex trafficking here in Las Vegas, so that we can see if we can get these different groups together in order to work together. And I'm sitting there and I'm just so proud and so happy. And she then says, and we have Peter Neary with us today. Pastor Neary is an expert in this area. You'll all want to get to know him and talk to him. And I'm going, expert in this area? I don't know anything. I'm just learning all this. Christine is the expert. And the next thing I know, everybody wants to talk to me. I am not an expert. God just through prayer arranged for me to meet somebody, to meet somebody else, so we can pull this thing together. But what that told me was, is they are desperate to do something for these kids. And they'll look to anyone who has any kind of experience. So please pray for me, because I'm not going to masquerade as an expert. But I'm desperate now to learn everything I can so I can assist every organization that wants to get involved, so we can take a frontal attack on Satan for how he's destroying these young girls. And some of those young girls could even be relatives of yours, because it's amazing how these girls show up for whatever reason, and how they get enslaved by predators against their will and then have no alternative. And if you want to know that 11-year-old, is it turns out, I didn't tell you this part of it, one of Lieutenant Karen Hughes's officers, undercover agents, his wife is a member of my church, and he comes to church. And when I told him this story, he says, I've got 5 cases on my desk right now, and the youngest is 11 years old. So please pray for me and pray for this ministry, but please pray, because God is going to use you to do something big as long as you open your heart and mind to God. First volume of the testimonies. I just recently found this. I didn't know it existed, but it so clearly declares to us how to pray, how to approach prayer, that I wanted to share it with you in closing tonight. I entitled it Remedy for the Sin-Sick Soul. Notice it's on cardstock again. I hope you all got cardstock. If any of you got paper, you can change it. There are some left, and you can get cardstock. But the reason I entitled this is the paragraph right above says, the remedy for a sin-sick soul. So if anybody is struggling with a sin problem, here's what we are told to do and what is needed to cure or remedy for a sin-sick soul. I saw how this grace could be obtained. Now, there's a clue, by the way. How can this grace be obtained, folks? Number one, how? Go to your closet. And there alone, what? Plead with God. Underline, closet. Underline, plead. In fact, she says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Remember, this is the remedy for a sin-sick soul. Go to your closet. Plead with God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. These are words from David's beautiful penitential psalm in Psalms 51. And notice that this is implying that you're admitting your heart is dirty. You're humbling yourself before God and letting Him know that you are a sinner. And you're pleading with Him to renew a right spirit within you, acknowledging that the spirit you have, at least in this area, is wrong. Go to your closet, plead with God. Then, number two, be earnest and sincere. Underline those two. Be earnest and sincere. And I'm so excited about this. Have any of you read James, the fifth chapter? Any of you elders, you've been involved in anointing, and doesn't it say we'll anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord? And it says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And I also often thought, what's an effectual fervent prayer? Because I want to be a righteous man. If you call me for anointing, I want to bring God with me, not Satan. I want my prayers to be answered because I am a righteous man. I want them to be effectual and fervent. I always wondered what that meant. This quote answers that question. What is for a person who prays fervently, prays how? Earnest and sincere. There it is. Earnest and sincere. That's what it means by fervent prayer. If you've ever wondered, that's it. So you go to your closet. You plead with God. Be earnest and sincere. And in that way, you'll be fervent. And then number three, for those who were here last night, Jacob, like, what are you supposed to do? Wrestle and agonize. Make that number three, right? Wrestle and agonize. And then notice this. Because Jesus, in the garden, sweat great drops of blood. You must make an effort. There it is. You must make an effort. Make that number four. And then number five, do not leave your closet. Remember what Jacob said? I will not let you go. Well, if we do not leave our closet, when do we leave our closet? Until you feel strong in God. See? You, Pastor, how long should I pray? Until you feel strong in God. Yeah, but how long is that, Pastor? Doesn't say. For you, it might be 5 minutes. For me, it might be 20. But however long it is, God will get you there if you give Him the time. Remember the card we handed out? It says, they're too great a haste. The quote I gave you from Book Educate, you're in too great a haste. You don't wait for counsel. You press through the presence of God's loving circle, waiting perhaps for a moment in the sacred precinct, but not waiting for counsel. With your burdens, you go back to work. How long do I pray, Pastor? Till you feel strong in God. And then number six. Am I counting right, by the way? No? Watch, then watch just as long as you watch and pray. Number six, watch and pray. And by the way, watch and pray comes right from the garden which we had the first night, didn't we? Remember? The Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus had a select group of disciples, Peter, James, and John, come close to me, but stay here and pray. And when he came back, he found them asleep. And what did he say? Peter, couldn't you stay awake with me 1 hour? Then he said, keep watching and keep praying that you don't enter into temptation. For your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Watch and pray. And then finally, here it is. Watch and pray. You can keep these evil besetments under, and the grace of God can and will appear in you. What's the remedy for the sin-sick soul? It's the grace of God. How do you receive the grace of God? Prayer. That's it. Prayer. There it is. Take it home. Read it. Put it in your Bible. Read it. And practice praying like this. And I know God is going to bless you in a mighty way.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.